Jesus jumps right in to the difficult and controversial topic of marriage and divorce, fidelity and adultery. It was a difficult and controversial topic back then, 2,000 years ago, and it still is today, especially here in the Philippines, where the possibility of changing the laws on marriage is being considered even now. The so-called absolute divorce bill has already passed the lower house and is being debated in the Senate this year. I'm sure you know some of the very common arguments that come up in these debates. People say things like, well, there are so many people, especially women, who are locked into abusive marriages and they need a way out. So the compassionate thing is, they claim, to allow divorce. And if you are opposed to divorce, well, then you lack compassion. Other people point out that the Philippines is the only country, except for the Vatican, at least this is what they claim, that doesn't have a just law for dealing with these difficult marriage cases. So it's the argument not of compassion, but of conformity or popularity. Do what other countries do. Then there are those who turn to us Catholics and say, you Catholics, if you want to have stricter rules for yourselves, well, go ahead. But you have no right to impose your rules on the rest of us. Kind of an argument to exclude the Catholics. And then, I love this one, you bishops, you priests, you're not married, so what right do you have to enter into this discussion? You don't know anything about the difficulties of married life. Another attempt to exclude people from the discussion. I think priests know a lot about the difficulties of married life because we listen to a lot of married couples, but that's a side issue. Now, there's something to these positions, there's something to these arguments. They make some relevant points, but they all miss the main point. They do not address the question, what is marriage? They assume that marriage is based on how people feel about each other or for each other. It's a committed romantic union. Therefore, when the spouses no longer have those feelings, those romantic attractions, well, then the marriage dissolves. That's how people think. But if we start with a different definition of what a marriage is, well, then we will find a different answer to what can be done when problems arise. And this is exactly what Jesus does in today's gospel. He goes to the root of the question. The Pharisees ask him about divorce. What's their question? Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? Following the Jewish understanding of what's right and what's wrong, they ask not, is it right, but is it lawful? Of course, they were experts in the law. They were the Pharisees. They knew that there was a law permitting divorce. It was permitted by Moses, Old Testament. So Jesus asks them about this, and they acknowledge, yes, Moses permitted a husband to divorce his wife. This is where Jesus does something completely surprising. He disagrees with Moses. This is shocking to the mentality of the Jews. Shocking. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the one who received from God himself the law. So to disagree with Moses is like to disagree with God himself. But this is what Jesus says. Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote that law. In other words, that action of Moses was not based on what marriage is. It was not based on the plan of God for marriage. It was based on a concession to your own stubbornness. Not a very good basis for an argument or a law. And then Jesus goes on, but from the beginning, God made them male and female. See what he does? He starts not with what people feel about each other, not with what problems can arise in marriage, and we know there are many, not with what so-and-so says, not with what other countries do, not with what the government says, not with what the priests and the bishops say, not even what Moses says. That's not the starting point. No, Jesus goes back to the beginning. From the beginning, the original plan. What's the original plan? God made them male and female. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. Jesus' own words. He quotes Genesis, and then he adds his own point. What God has joined together, no human being must separate. So you see, he takes the question of divorce off the table right from the start. Not whether it's good or bad, whether it's good law or bad law, whether it's just or unjust or any idea like that. He doesn't even address that. He says, no human being has the right to separate what God has joined together. God clearly has in mind from the beginning a special kind of bond, a unique relationship between the man and the woman, one man and one woman. Not just any kind of special romantic union, not just any kind of committed friendship, but a particular kind of relationship, which is what we call marriage. Do we think we have a better plan than God? Do we think we can come up with a better solution than God? That's really what's happening when people come up with a different definition of marriage. Now, I know this is a very challenging teaching. No wonder it's been controversial ever since. And there's much more to it than we can address in one short homily. But maybe to make it a little clearer, we can turn to a simple analogy. Let's take the example of an electric fan. We all know what an electric fan is, and we know what it's for. There's one right here. There's one over there. There's some in the ceiling. There's some on the walls. We all know what an electric fan is. We know what it is, and we know what it's for. Maybe we don't know that about marriage, what it is and what it's for, but we should. But that's why I take something simpler to get to the heart of it. Plug in a fan, point it in the right direction, turn the dial, the blades spin around, that's it. Blows the air, that's it. But suppose somebody asks the question, can I use my electric fan to cut the grass? Can I use my electric fan as the engine for my boat? Well, no, there's no absolute rule against these things. You can do it if you want to. It's not against the law. You might even be able to get some results for a little while. However, everyone would agree that that's not what an electric fan is for. That's not what it is. It's not a grass cutter. It's not an outboard engine. And if you try to use it or treat it in a way that goes against its own nature, if you violate the purpose for which it was manufactured, you're going to have trouble. So that's the simple comparison. Now I know we're not electric fans, we're not household appliances, we're something much more complex and profound, and so maybe my example doesn't work very well. What are we? We are human persons, and human persons are made in the image and likeness of God Himself, God who is love. It is not good for the human person to be alone. As God Himself says, He says in today's first reading from Genesis, it is not good for the man to be alone. Why is it not good? Because we are made for love. We're made for love. To be alone, meaning to be cut off from relationship, is not good for us. We are made like God, who is love. God loves us. He's the husband. We are the bride. God will never stop loving us. He will never divorce us. It would be impossible for him even to think of it, because that's who he is. And this is how he wants us to think about the unique and beautiful and holy bond of marriage. The way he thinks about it. Not about how to end it, not about all the many problems, not about the controversies, not about legal solutions. No, how to respect it, how to support it, how to heal it, how to practice marriage in our homes and in our society in a way that respects who we really are and what marriage really is.